You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Roto Experts in the Morning. This is actually Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, coming in for Mike Blewett today. But don't worry about it. We got George Kurtz here, and we are going to give you everything on a week 14. It's getting chilly outside. We're getting to playoff time. I know I'm really excited, George, because this is actually the first week since August where I don't actually have to care about my fantasy team because I got a bye, so I'm chilling. All I need are my players to stay healthy. That's all I care about. I was very excited to see, you know, Tyreek Hill and Spencer Ware and Travis Kelce not get hurt for me on Thursday night. I am trying to avoid the injury bug and will be okay going into the semifinals for myself. How are you doing so far, George?
Well, I'm on eight teams, so I didn't have eight buys.
So give me your aggregate, though. Come on now. I know you got to have a buy in at least a couple of those leagues, right?
I'm sure I do. I don't pay a lot of it. I'll be honest, I don't pay a lot of attention.
That's all right. And we just set it and forget it, just like any.
I don't want to go that far.
Any good strong championship lineup. And check it out. If they're not listening to us live here on Roto Experts in the Morning, they can catch us on the Audio Boom, on the Stitcher, on the Google Play. You can download that Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. You can also just subscribe on iTunes, just like any of George's lineups. You set it, you forget it, then you get everything you need to win your leagues and win that cash. We got Pete Considori with us on the ones and twos, helping us stay hot, blow up like a Samsung 7, getting hotter than the E-pens in your pocket so that you can win your cash going into week 14. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go game by game. And check it out. Also, week 14, no buys anymore, okay? So we got 15 games to go through. So many nuggets to give you here on Roto Experts in the Morning. We're also going to take your calls at 844-843-6879 here on a Saturday morning. We are live at Studio 34 here in Rockin' Riley's in Midtown Manhattan on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're also going to put up some Twitter polls during the show. This way you can get involved with us as well on that FNTSY Radio Twitter handle. You'll catch us at the Roto Experts as well. You can ask us your questions there. One of the questions we have, because, you know, these teams, George, they break it down into kind of four game segments throughout the season, and we're getting into that final quarter. A lot of the people think that the NFC Championship game is kind of a fait accompli right now. People loving the Cowboys and people thinking that the Seahawks are rounding into form. But I wonder, because, you know, it's never as easy as it sounds. So I wonder, which of these other NFC teams do we think are really in position to maybe upset the apple cart a little bit? You know, I mean, Is it Jim Bob Cooter and the Detroit Lions? I've been on the Detroit Lions all season long. A lot of people think that the Giants are looking like they normally do when they go and make their run and go in the Super Bowl like 07 or 2011. Are they rounding into form? Big loss with JPP. Eli looking a little bit erratic. Is it the hot young Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, who is it that it could be that might, you know, change the landscape of the NFC? That's one of our questions you can get at us at that FNTSY Radio Twitter handle. What do you think in the NFC moving forward, George?
Well, I think Seattle is the best team. The offensive line has to hold up in order really to have Russell Wilson to give a chance.
You're not concerned about the Earl Thomas injury?
Roaming sideline to sideline? That was a pretty damn good defense as it is.
Fair
what
enough.
Made Seattle the secondary great is that Earl Thomas could play a one high safety.
Right.
And he can get from sideline to sideline. So they will have to change things up some. The problem is, you named all the other teams.
Yeah. I mean, who? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Falcons, you know.
They have many defensive problems of their own. They have injuries on the wide receiver now. Their offense is dangerous.
Right. I mean, that number one in the offense in the NFL, the scoring, I do believe it's like 32.8 points a game. You know, Matt Ryan avoiding falling off the cliff like he usually does. A lot of credit's got to go to the center acquisition, Alex Mack, for that. But we will see. These guys can get at us at FNTSY Radio and let us know who they think it could be. We'll be putting up a couple more poll questions throughout the show. But, hey, George, how about we just dive into these games, right? We got a lot of games to get to, and I know people that are, you know, making their lineups for the playoffs. And obviously, also, as we get into the holidays, people maybe need a little bit more cash. You know, they're buying presents for their family, so we're going to help them out. All you need to do is give us about, what, 5%? We'll take 5%, and as they fill out their 1099Gs, make sure you fill out those 1099Gs after all of the advice that George and I are going to give you this Saturday on an early early Saturday morning. This is Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, filling in for Mike Blewett here on Roto Experts in the Morning. Let's dive right in, George. The first game I want to get to, Chicago Bears, they travel to Detroit. The Detroit Lions are 8-point favorites in Detroit. And this is really interesting to me because how is Detroit an 8-point favorite? They have not, like, you know, they came back to win when they were down in the fourth quarter in 7 of their 8 games. Matthew Stafford leading comebacks. How can you give them 8 points in a division matchup? I think the back door is open for this one, but let's get into it on the fantasy side of things, on the Chicago side of things. With no Zach Miller, with no Alshon Jeffrey, you know, Marquise Wilson was on the injury report. I'm thinking maybe Cameron Meredith might be an interesting play. You can get him at only 5,400 on FanDuel. I like him. You know, Jordan Howard obviously takes an incredible share of the production and of the opportunity. You know, I mean, Matt Barkley has looked decent, kind of like one of those garbage time quarterbacks over the last couple of weeks. You obviously throw out that game in the snow last week, but I don't know, anything on the Chicago side? I'm on Team Meredith. You think Marquise Wilson has any value? Who you like in the Chicago side?
Well, Meredith's list is questionable. He's got the groin injury, so I'm going to stay away from him. There's really no reason to go there. I'm staying away from Cam Meredith as well. I think you're under...
There's no pass catchers then on Chicago, right?
Well, the joke there would be, can they catch the ball?
Fair enough. Yo, Josh Bellamy should have brought them a win against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. Can't blame that one on Matt Barkley.
He dropped 2 more last week that should have been touchdowns.
Well, so then we're right. That's why I'm going Cameron Meredith, because it's not Marquise Wilson. You know, there's no Marquise Wilson. Bellamy's going to drop the ball. If anything, in a game where they're probably going to have to try to throw the ball to keep up with Jim Bob Cooter and that Detroit offense in Detroit, someone's going to get production, no?
Sure, I mean, if we're talking about a daily game, 5,400 on FanDuel with Cam Meredith, I can live with that.
Okay.
But I think I can do better here. Like I said, I think Barkley's been fine. I think Detroit can be thrown on some up, but it's in the dome. I think I can do better. I'm going to stay away from Barkley and Meredith. And it's nothing against Barkley. I think he's been fine. You mentioned the game against Tennessee. They dropped, I think it was 10 passes.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. 10
yeah.
passes. And I said last week, just in what I watched, Bellamy, and that's no joke, he dropped 2 more touchdowns. They were bombs. But they were right in his hands. You got to catch the ball.
There
buddy.
Were no completions in the first quarter in that first game last week against San Francisco. I blame the snow. And interestingly enough, you know, this is also, let me get your take on this, George. This is the time of year when you got to start looking at the weather, right? That impacts one of the things I'm going to say, all the fantasy players out there, especially those daily leagues. When I see the weather starting, that's when I start to avoid these kind of like Thursday to Monday slates, the Monday to Thursday overlap slate, because you never know. You never know what the weather's going to wind up being 3 days down the road. And if you have games like we saw last week in Chicago, in Green Bay, that are definitely going to tamper production, I stay away from those contests that go, you know, Thursday to Monday or Monday to Thursday because of that. When the weather starts changing, you know, that becomes a wild card that you don't want to get into. Let's look at the Detroit side of things. Listen, Matthew Stafford looked great last week. Ever since Jim Bob Cooter has sort of reined him in, I think this is very interesting because, you know, I think Matthew Stafford has actually gotten better because of the removal of Megatron. You know, he last year and in years past, he would force it to Megatron and then would wind up turning the ball over a lot more than normal. Obviously, you know, you want to have an all-time great like Megatron on the outside, but he is now doing what good quarterbacks do, go where the ball dictates. And you don't have any great wide-out ones anymore, but you have guys like, whether it be Anquan Boldin, whether it be Marvin Jones, who it does look like is coming back this week, or Golden Tate, or you know, all of those guys. Oh, we're happy about Marvin Jones coming. Back. No, we're not, because that's just going to steal.
Should not be on your roster.
No. He had a great, first, like, 3-4 weeks?
He was outstanding.
You know? Exactly, and this is more to my point. Stafford is going to, like, not key in on one person, and, you know, Golden Tate starts chirping, then Squeaky Wheel gets the real. You know, we're going to get there.
Greasy Wheel, too.
Listen, it's a little early for me, I got to tell you, George. I'm usually here on Shot Calls on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 7 o'clock, and Rockin' Riley's is bumping. We got the breakfast crowd here today, so, you know.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, we got our omelets going on over there, so I got to get into the flow as well. Maybe I am the Squeaky Wheel. I need some grease myself. Where do you go on the Detroit side of things? What about a guy like Eric Ebron? If you're missing Gronk, if you're worried about Jordan Reed coming back, is that a rosterable tight end this week? Where do you go? Where do you like on Detroit?
Well, he's a tight end one anyway. So he's probably, sorry, he's rostered. If you have him as a backup, congratulations, you're covered.
Fringe, yeah. So you plug him in okay right away, there. Right?
But there's a lot of guys in that 8 to 12, 8 to 14 range as far as tight ends where, you know, tight end is deep. It was deep coming in, which is why I didn't want to draft Gronk anywhere near the first, second round. Or sure. Jordan Reed, I wasn't taking Olsen in rounds 4 and 5 either. It's just so deep. Guys that might be on your waiver wire if you're stuck at tight end, I mean, Zach Ertz could still be out there. Ladarius Green is now the hot pickup.
Oh, I've loved me some Ladarius Green coming off that 6 catches, 110 yards. Listen, they signed him to a 4-year deal. They believe he is the replacement for Heath Miller. Too bad that he had that ankle injury. A lot of people thought he was also needed to be in that cold, dark, quiet room because of some head issues. Yeah. They didn't want to talk about it. They never wanted to admit it. But that is, he is going to get a growing role in the offense. What about a guy like Cameron Brate if you need a tight end as well?
I assume he's gone already. He's almost top 5 right now. And his schedule is fantastic.
Going up against that Saints defense twice.
And Dallas is the other one.
Absolutely.
Goes up
against. We got to like
there.
That. We got to like that. So where, let's get back to this Detroit game, though. Who do you like? I mean, obviously in a PPR league, you love Theo Riddick, but where else are we going?
I mean, just really the big three there. You love Theo, right? You're starting him as a running back, too. Ebron, you've already talked about. He's a tight end, low-end tight end one, but a tight end one nonetheless, and Golden Tate. And Matthew Stafford is in my top 8 as well. I think he'll have a solid game on the at home. I think he should be fine against the Bears there. So I'm not worried about my Detroit Lions not starting Marvin Jones. Anquan Boldin, by the way. If you need wide receiver help, maybe maybe you have Michael Thomas and you're worried about him starting.
Sure.
Anquan Boldin's a fine alternative.
All right, I like that as well. And listen, Anquan Boldin, he's a guy that's not going to be sexy, but his floor is there. And Stafford will look for him on third down. Stafford will look for him in the red zone, okay? Anquan Boldin, one of the toughest wide receivers in the NFL. Let's keep it moving, Pete. Let's go to one more game before we got to, you know, pay some bills and talk to the sponsors and all that good stuff. Let's go to the Arizona Cardinals. They're traveling west to east to take on Miami. Miami, a 2-point favorite last time I saw it. Listen. I gotta tell people, I'm fading Jarvis Landry in this game. I do not like what is going on in the Miami offense for a guy like Jarvis Landry. Adam Gase has, I think, realized that they need to become a more run-heavy offense with Jay Ajayi. And even with the emergence of Devontae Parker, you used to think that Jarvis Landry had that floor getting 8, 9, 10 targets a game, especially in PPR leagues. But if you look at the last few weeks, he did have his 11 catches last week, but those targets have been going down. You used to think he was a safe floor. I'm not so sure as much on a guy like Jarvis Landry. What do you think is in store the future for this Miami offense, especially with a defense in Arizona coming in that is in top 10 DVOA defensively, both against the run and against the pass? Are you confident in any of these Dolphins on Sunday?
Well, first they got to show up, right?
They against Baltimore. I'll tell you what happened last week. Listen, people started to get high on this team. They were playing teams like the Niners, like the Jets. They just took a step up in class playing against the Baltimore Ravens and that number one overall defense in yards per game. And I think they just proved themselves to be fugazi. That's one of the things I talk about on my show. We talk about the fantasy fugazis, and the Miami Dolphins were definitely one. They just took a step up. They are not actually a playoff team. Anybody who thought at 7-4 they were actually going to be a playoff team, they were kidding themselves. So let's see if they can bounce back this week.
The key to the Dolphins is the offensive line. We've seen it when it's healthy. The offense moves. Always Jay Ajayi moves. They won't have Pouncey, and they may not have him for the rest of the season. But Albert came back last week. So did Tunsil. So it's 4/5 healthy. So they should get some movement there. But as you said, Landry, now, I don't know if we're talking about PPR or standard leagues.
I mean, PPR, you love the fact that he's probably going to get yourself the six, seven catches. But I can no longer use 7 catches for 48 yards. That's my issue.
11 points. I don't know if I'd be so upset about that. But the problem with Landry is there's not much upside because he's probably not going to get in the end zone.
Exactly, exactly. You know, those big targets on the outside, more Devontae Parker, and they have been pounding the ball with Jay Ajayi. On the Arizona side of things, I mean, obviously, David Johnson, is he the fantasy MVP so far this year?
No. Nobody taking him the first round can be MVP.
Okay, fair
he
enough.
May be exceeding
we talk
value,
about value. That
not,
is the question
right.
of the word of value. There is that question. I'll give that to you. Is he the most outstanding player then? Let's take that value out of it. I mean the man is getting, 2 touchdowns a game, a beast in the passing game as well. Going into the season, you wondered I was thinking that this could have been the first year where all three of those wide receivers might have gone for 1,000 yards. Smokey Brown, Michael Floyd, obviously Larry Fitz. As we go on into the year, really only Fitz is the last man left standing, and this offense has gone more and more towards David Johnson. I think Arians is realizing Carson Palmer is falling off a cliff. I don't know how old you are, George, but I'm telling you, I'm at that age too. You know, I don't know. I can't do it like I used to. And I think that's what Carson Palmer is facing. I think Arians realizes this, and they're just giving the ball to David Johnson more and more. Jermaine Gresham, though, has been a growing part of this Cardinals offense. If you're missing Gronk, if you're worried about Jordan Reed, you take a flyer on Gresham?
Probably not.
Okay.
Although Miami, traditionally not great against the tight ends, and I think Dennis Pitta might have had a decent game last
week. Dennis Pitta might have had a decent game. Too bad he was on my bench last week. I did have Zach Ertz in there.
He was
instead.
On everybody's bench.
I know. But, you know, when you see him score his second touchdown of the game early at about like 1:45, I was like, oh, maybe I should have started Dennis Pitta. Zach Ertz did okay for me, though. Check it out, George. When we come back here on Roto Experts in the Morning, we have so many more games to get to. Week 14, we're going to go around the league, give you who to sit, who to start, who to fade, give you everything you need to win your league and win that cash. Later on, we're going to talk about our DFS lineups as well. You can join the action if you want to get at us at 844-843-6879. Don't forget about our Twitter poll questions up there as well. It is a nice Saturday morning here at Rockin' Riley's. I'm your boy Dane Martinez, Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yes, yes, yes. This is Dane Martinez. You know me as Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, filling in for Mike Blewett today, but I do have George Kurtz with me, and this is Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A beautiful little Saturday morning going into week 14. I know a lot of you guys are, in the playoffs right now, so you got to make sure that we're holding you down so you could set your lineups, get ready to continue to advance in your playoffs. I got Pete Considori with me on the ones and twos, helping us get hot like a Samsung 7. It sounds, though, Pete, like we have a caller, right? So let's get that caller in there right now. Let's see if George and I can help him out. What do you got?
Joel from Buffalo. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I'm just trying to set my playoff lineup. So right now I got Russell Wilson in. If the weather is bad, I have Colin Kaepernick to back him up. You guys agree with that?
Sure, I'll give you my take real quick first, and then I'll give it over to George. Remember, that Green Bay Packers secondary is trash, especially over the last few weeks, and they've actually been, like, bringing guys off the street.
You know about the snow, right?
And there's going to be weather. That's true.
A lot of weather.
That's true, but, you know... That to me, a guy like Russell Wilson, though, that only means maybe he's going to run for 65 yards as well. I do think...
Now there's that much snow.
We'll see. I'm not mad. I do, however, the Colin Kaepernick play, you also get that rushing floor. And let me tell you something. In my opinion, the Jets have quit. The Jets have quit on their season. They now have to have a big travel going East Coast to West Coast in a game that I think, you know, you saw how Andrew Luck carved them up on Monday Night Football. I don't think they're going to bounce back. I think the Jets are done. I like Colin Kaepernick. Also, Colin Kaepernick only 7,200 on FanDuel this week. Interesting play. It sounds, George, like you are scared of the weather in the freezing tundra of Lambeau Field going away from Seattle, and you're giving out Colin Kaepernick in this situation. Yeah.
I say that sometimes it's just like play contrarian play here.
You're
make sure
contrarian.
We're aware.
All right, I mean, where are you going?
When it comes to Russell Wilson, last I heard on the weather, I'm checking as we speak right now, they're talking 6 to 8 inches. That's a significant amount of snow coming during that. That's not last week.
That is not last week. That's true. That's true.
I'm
Mother Nature.
Now, precipitation is 70% during the game. It's a 1 o'clock game, I believe, right?
I think it's a late game. Let me double check.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a late game.
Still, it looks like 50-50 on the snow, but it'll be snowing before. Either way, it's going to be messy. And they're talking 6 to 8 inches.
Yeah, that is.
That's a sloppy, sloppy game there. I guess it could be good for Wilson. You mentioned he's a running quarterback, which means the defensive line. Right.
And remember, the offense knows where they're going. The defense is the one who doesn't. They're the ones who have to try to react to Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin. And these are not NFL caliber players in the secondary for the Green Bay Packers these days.
My problem is this. All right. If Kaepernick didn't have this dud last week.
Right.
Would this even be a consideration?
No.
If he had another 20-point fantasy game, we'd be like, oh, no, go with
no,
the
then he'd be one of the
Kaepernick
hottest. He was
right.
One of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL.
So why are we so bad on Kaepernick over one? I mean, granted, it was a disaster.
You're right, and I'm not. I think, to be honest, I think the Jets are the elixir that'll make everything okay for Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Revis Island is eroding. You know, this guy doesn't even want to play football anymore. These guys have completely quit, and you can get the same kind of rushing production that you would get from Russell Wilson, definitely from Colin Kaepernick.
I think if it's a blizzard tomorrow or whatever is going on there, I'm going Kaepernick.
There you go, man. When you wake up in the morning, if it's gonna be if there's gonna be weather in that freezing tundra of Lambeau Field, then you want to get away from that. Look at what it did to games in Chicago and Green Bay last week.
This will be much worse.
And this is going to be much worse. So we're going to go, the safer play is to get your production in the sunny skies of San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick.
Can I ask you one more question?
Fire away.
Yeah, so I mean, now with that said, I need to pick three receivers. Basically, Tyrell Williams, Jordy Nelson. I'm also looking at Sammy Watkins, Kelvin Benjamin.
How many?
Three out of those four.
Three.
So here's
one sits.
We got one that's sitting. Now, you know, George mentioned obviously the weather again, and that would affect Jordy Nelson. But I got to tell you something. This is one of the games that we were going to dive into here. I am off Kelvin Benjamin in a big way, George. Okay, Kelvin Benjamin started the year pretty hot. But check this out. Since week two, he's only gone over 80 yards twice. Since week two, he's only caught more than five balls twice. Since week two, he's only gotten into the end zone twice. Now, if you've had him on your roster all year, you know this, my man. And so you know that he has not been returning value for you in the last few weeks. Caught only two of nine targets for 18 yards last week, and they even came out, Rivera came out this week and said, you know what, maybe we rushed him back. And the other thing with me is Cam Newton is becoming more and more dependent, it looks like to me, on the deep ball. They are chucking it up to Ted Ginn, chucking up those bombs, and it's kind of becoming a little bit more boom or bust. I do not like Kelvin Benjamin out of this group.
Plus, he looked disinterested last week.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'll broaden that out to the entire Carolina Panthers. Okay, they, you know, Super Bowl hangover, they're probably eliminated still now in last place in that division. They have nothing to play for, and it looks like Cam Newton and that team does not know how to respond to adversity too well.
That being said, I'm playing Kelvin Benjamin.
All right, tell me, where are you going?
I'm going to go same thing we just talked about.
You sticking away from Jordy in the snow?
If it's it has to be really bad. I don't really mind Jordy in the snow tomorrow. I think Aaron Rodgers can play in it better than anybody else. But if it's a whiteout, nothing you can do. You're not going to be able to throw the ball. Other than that, I'm going to probably bench Sammy Watkins. Don't trust him with the snap count, pitch count. Mm-hmm. He's sitting out practices on Wednesday.
Yeah, he's always sore.
Right, so I don't trust him at all. He'd be the one I sit if I'm okay with the weather tomorrow.
All right, so you're okay.
I want to start Nelson tomorrow.
But you're okay running out Kelvin Benjamin, even though he has done nothing.
Am I okay with it? No.
I mean, but
I'm not thrilled about it.
We got to choose three out of these four options.
I sat in my home league.
So there you have it. Okay, we're not super high on any of them. It sounds like Tyrell Williams, though, we're definitely putting in there. You know, Phillip Rivers likes him. I'm not worried about him being banged up. We like Tyrell Williams for sure. You got pros and cons on all these other guys. Kelvin Benjamin looks like he may have given up. Sammy Watkins, you know, coming back. Can he actually stay healthy?
No. Not right. For any length of time, anyway.
I will say this, that Steelers defense is susceptible, you know, over the top.
They're playing better. They're getting pretty good. I'm not on them. This is Jake Seeley, who's convinced me now.
If Sammy Watkins is on the field, I like that. But, you know, so now we're going down to Jordy and Kelvin Benjamin. Do with that information what you will. Hope that we can help you out, and thanks for the call. We are going to keep it moving. And interesting, George, that's the next game I wanted to go to. The San Diego Chargers traveling west to east against Super Chargers. Charge! We might be calling them the L.A. Chargers sometime soon. It looks that way. They, you know, in all the hubbub of Election Day, what we did not probably talk about as much, they voted down
the
proposal.
They had no chance. They needed two-thirds.
Yeah,
that
was not going to happen. So,
you know, I wouldn't vote for it either.
LA may be very quickly going from zero teams to two. But when they have them still in Southern California, where I hear it never rains, besides Tyrell Williams, what do you think about my man, and I don't know if you guys are It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fans at all, my man Dontrell Inman. The fighter of the night, man. Dontrell Inman has been another kind of boom or bust receiver. Phillip Rivers, you know, it seems to not matter who the pass catchers are for San Diego and Phillip Rivers. You know, Keenan Allen can go, Danny Woodhead could go, Travis Benjamin can go. He will find somebody, whether it's Hunter Henry or Antonio Gates. What do you think about, the caller had Tyrell Williams. What do you think about some of the other pass catchers? Anybody else viable on San Diego in this game against the young secondary that was starting to play better, but now, had that hiccup with Luke Kuechly? He may be coming back, but I think they still are kind of a work in progress out there in Carolina.
Well, you put it perfectly with Inman. He's boom or bust. Yep. You know, the last week, 2 for 49. Week before that, 6-119. Then he had a bunch of 6-5, 4-catch games, which you can live with fine. 10 double-digit points, you'll take it. A couple of touchdowns mixed in there. I want nothing to do with Travis Benjamin. I think Benjamin reminds me of the player who's healthy enough to play NFL football, right, but not healthy enough to contribute as far as big numbers fantasy-wise. He's healthy enough to be on the field, so he's on the field. He's a football player, he plays football. But the PCL injury is certainly taking away his, maybe his speed, cutting ability, whatever it is. I think it's a matter of time before they start going to a heavy two tight end offense, which is what I would do with Gates and Hunter Henry.
With Henry and Gates.
Which hurts, of course, both of their values. But really, the only person I'm truly interested in starting, Tyrell Williams.
Sure. I mean, and you know, I would also get into, obviously, Melvin Gordon. We were talking about the pass catches. Melvin Gordon, surprisingly, RB3 or 4 overall. After his rookie year with no touchdowns, he's gotten into the end zone, what is it, George? I think 12 times already this year. Nice surprise. Nice surprise. You probably didn't draft him in your first round, so we're talking about MVP. I don't know if he rises to the level of MVP.
Sure.
He's one of those candidates. We'll talk about this all show as we go team by team, but I'm telling you, if you drafted Melvin Gordon, you are very happy about his 12 touchdowns overall, getting you what you need to win your leagues and win that cash. Let's talk a little bit though about Cam Newton, man, and the hats he's wearing, the bow ties, his ties. You know,
well, he's not wearing a tie. That's the problem.
Fair enough. He is not wearing a tie. Did I wonder if that, when that news came out last week, if that did that change anything for you? If you see that, to me, this team is sort of unraveling a little bit, right? So I've seen Greg Olsen kind of fade over the last few weeks. He has not been doing it. You know, is this just Jonathan Stewart and nobody else?
I think there's a lot of stuff going on in Carolina. Okay. And it seems to be ever since Cam had the meltdown at the Super Bowl press conference.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's thin-skinned. Everything is great when you're dabbing and dancing and you got your commercials going on and you're Supermaning and you're giving balls to kids. But as soon as you start to, you know, have some accountability, this 6'5", 260-pound man gets into the fetal position.
And I like Cam Newton. I think he's an incredible athlete.
Oh, he's an incredible player. But come on, is he a leader of men?
No, not right now. And you're a quarterback, you have to. You can't act like that. You just can't. And I'm not saying it's all because of that, but it seems like ever since then, you know, it's gone downhill.
It sure has.
And listen, the tie things, personally, I don't care.
Oh, neither do I, but I think this is like masking probably a bigger issue,
right,
that's going on. I don't even know.
Is he trying to, you know, scope authority?
Exactly.
Like, oh, hey, I don't need to wear a tie.
Maybe Rivera's just grasping at straws, like he has to, like, you know, shut him down on something.
This is the first time.
This was the first time. I also wouldn't be surprised if there were some other incidents, other issues that are being kept in that locker room that we as the public,
right,
don't hear about, and this is just a way to kind of, you know, have a miss a drive as a culmination of some other nonsense. Isn't going it? On
my,
behind
if,
closed
if
doors.
If I own a team, I don't care what you wear as long as you look somewhat professional and win games.
Yeah,
I'm a Yankee fan. The no beard thing is,
right,
is idiotic to me.
Right, but hey,
wear a beard, go
hey if Bryce Harper wants to sign and he wants to wear a beard,
here's your beard.
Come on in,
then
brother.
If I'm Bryce Harper, you're gonna pay me $500 million.
Yeah,
which is what I think he's gonna get.
If I'm getting paid $400 million, where is the razor? That's what I want to know. Check it out. When we come back, what we're gonna do, there's a ton more games that we gotta get to. We'll also take your calls, hoping we're helping you out set your playoff lineups. It's George Kurtz over here, and I'm Dane Martinez. They know me as Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, filling in for Mike Blewett on Roto Experts in the Morning, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ooh, yeah. We're slowing it down for you a little bit here on Roto Experts in the Morning. But the thing is, I can't do that. They call me Speeds. How am I going to do a slow jam? You know me as Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, filling in for Mike Blewett today. I got George Kurtz with me as well. We also got Pete Considori with me on the ones and twos, helping us get hot like a Samsung 7, blowing up like the E-Pens in your pocket. So many games here in week 14.
What's an 14. E-Pen?
What is an E-Pen? That's that vaping sensation, man. If you don't want to smoke anymore,
vape,
those pens.
Yeah,
but the thing is, they get hot. They could blow up and spontaneously honestly combust in your pocket.
The cancer won't kill you. Now
I'm saying there are so many dangers here. That's why you just got to stay focused on some good, clean fun like the NFL. Forget all that Toradol. We're just having some good, clean fun here. Week 14, me and George. Let's dive into another game. And the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Cleveland. And that inspires another That inspires another poll question on that FNTSY. Will the Cleveland Browns win a game this year? I'm going to tell you, George, if not now, then when? Okay, division game, coming off the bye. Cincinnati decimated by injuries. No Gio Vernard, no A.J. Green, obviously. Maybe a little bit of a short-term infusion of pop with RG3 coming back with that extended audition. First of all, first it was Kessler with the extended audition. Now it's RG3. I can see it on your face, George. You're not buying it. I sort of think that for one game, first of all, it's 5.5 points. I don't think Cincinnati is going to do enough to cover. I think this could be the one, George. It could be. I don't know. You're going to have to come on my show on Monday night if this happens, and you're going to be like, okay, Speeds, you were right. It's actually going down. So let's get into this, though. Does RG3 garbage time running? Does he offer any potential if you're in a two-quarterback league? Any situation where you could see running out RG3 or any of these Browns?
Well, you said a two-quarterback league, super flex league. I guess he'd be in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Has probably to be a 12-team at that.
I'm in a 14-team league where I can have quarterbacks in my flex. Okay.
So it's a consideration there.
It's a consideration, right? It's a consideration. You never know. I think, listen, will he turn the ball over twice? Yes. But will he, you know, scramble for 40, 50 yards, which, you know, counteract those.
He hasn't done that in quite a while.
Which counteract those two interceptions. All right. So let's go to the outside then. You like Terrell Pryor.
Do we like Terrell Pryor? Is he an automatic start with RG3?
Listen, do you guys remember in the preseason when RG3 was throwing bombs over the top and everybody was like, oh, maybe the Cleveland Browns have big play potential. Oh, Corey Coleman and RG3, the Baylor connection back-to-back. You don't see a 50-yard bomb for either of these wideouts, Terrell Pryor or Corey Coleman, potentially?
I have Pryor in a league.
Okay, are you starting him?
Right now I'm debating.
Okay.
That's the question. Okay. Pryor, I don't know. RG3 is scary. I mean, I think the Browns are doing the right thing. I think they need to find, you know, give them the 4-game audition, find out. You know, I'm assuming your number one pick, you're going to take a quarterback, but who knows?
Probably, you know. Yeah. Deshaun Watson is where it's going.
Yeah, well, sure about the Carson. Oh, forget it. So, I just don't know if I trust him in my playoffs.
So let's say this. You're in your playoffs, right? You're in your playoffs, and you got RG3. Are you trusting him over other, like, big-name wideouts who have had a bad season in this spot, like a guy like Allen Robinson or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins, yes. Robinson, no.
Okay, so you're playing TP3 over Allen Robinson.
Yes.
But not over DeAndre Hopkins.
He's going against the Colts. Come on.
I know, but he
could have touchdown last week.
In the snow, which remember we've already talked about. And so what you're telling me is, yeah, I know DeAndre Hopkins is the man, but last I checked, Brock Osweiler is still the quarterback, right? Awful. He's still the quarterback for the Houston Texans. So, yeah, I am auto-fading all of the Houston Texans. But you think TP3 has some legs out there. You could see running him out there.
I can, and I like TP a lot. It's RG3 that I'm worried about. I always worry about guys coming back first game off injury. Always, right. But you said he had the bye last week,
so they had the bye, right? So they were working him in.
So I like that.
Okay,
you know, and I wanna,
and he's playing for his NFL career.
I
want
to believe. I really want to believe.
Right, I'm all in, just like the Adidas ad. I'm all in on RG3.
Here's my other problem.
Go ahead.
I had Derek Carr in four leagues.
Yeah,
I sat him in the.
You sat him in the cold at Arrowhead with the fingers.
Scott Angle and Jake Seeley were on this all week.
We talked about that. Okay,
so got rid of Carr except for this league, two quarterback league.
Right,
it was either him or Joe Flacco started Carr. So obviously, I took a beating there. So now, you know, I can't...
Run him out there, George. Run him out there, man.
I don't know. It's a PPR league. Willie Snead. I think Willie Snead's my other choice.
That's your other option in the flex?
I have Allen Robinson, too, and Allen Robinson won't play.
Stay away from Allen Robinson. Stay away from all the Jaguars. Yo, Julius Thomas out. Allen Hurns out.
Oh, Thomas is terrible anyway.
Ivory questionable. Listen, there have been something like 4 or 5 games where Blake Bortles was actually the team's leading rusher. For the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stay away from them. You don't trust any of them in your playoffs. It doesn't look like we fully trust any of the Browns either. Let me go to the Cincinnati side of things. Listen, another guy I do not trust is Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill Let me tell you something. I thought after the Giovanni Bernard injury that this was going to be his time to shine. Oh, my goodness. He could become one of these very few workhorse backs. But no, no, no. Rex Burkhead is getting carries. 8 carries for, I believe, 38 yards last week. He was actually looking better than Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill has now become completely touchdown dependent. You take his touchdown away. Last week, Jeremy Hill, 23 carries for 33 yards. I know some people think that he's going to get this opportunity. And yes, the Cleveland Browns defense is doo-doo, 30th in the NFL. But I couldn't feel comfortable with Jeremy Hill out there when I know he could wind up with something like 36 yards on the day.
Might I throw out you 9 for 168?
Yeah, but that was what, week 3? Week 4 against Cleveland?
It was against Cleveland. It's week 7.
All right. But remember, I think this game is going completely different because I think this is when the Cleveland Browns get their victory. So there will be no salting away of the clock in the fourth quarter and just handing the ball to him. I think this is going to be a more competitive game. You're going to still see the red rifle and the shotgun in the fourth quarter because they're going to need to compete to win this game. They're not going to just be running out the clock like they might have been in week 7.
My problem is, how deep are you at running back to be able to sit Jeremy Hill? Good luck to you. If you are, fantastic. I'm not. Jeremy Hill is probably my number one on every one of my teams.
Fair enough. My league, where I'm in the playoffs, I'm riding out Le'Veon Bell, Spencer Ware, and Thomas Rawls all ahead of him. But hey, that's my league, and I'm in the playoffs. What are we going to do? I'm in the playoffs.
I don't have that kind of depth.
Listen, I got guys like Sharkhandrick West and D'Angelo Williams on my roster just because I'm trying to, you know, make sure I have that opportunity. But if you have Jeremy Hill, he's probably been your RB2 or something like that for the entire year. Where else are you going? I guess you have to run him out, but I'm not excited about that. What about this Rex Burkhead in DFS? Let's say in DFS, he's getting more and more of this share. He's coming out of nowhere. What is his price? Let's look that up now. I'm scared. I think this means that Cincinnati is not into Jeremy Hill. Why else would they be giving this other back and even
45?
Well, that's
$4,500 for Rex.
That's real cheap. And I mean, like, listen, you hate this Cleveland Browns team.
I don't hate the Cleveland Browns.
Come on, George, be real with me. As soon as we went to this game, the first thing you said was they ain't winning. They ain't winning. That was the first thing out of your mouth.
That's my job.
So if you think then that the Cincinnati will be running out the clock, I do not think Jeremy Hill is showing himself as a strong back. He looks to me like another one of these big SEC backs who got used up in college and is not doing anything in the pros. Read Trent Richardson. Read Todd Gurley this year, for God's sakes. It's horrible. But
I'm starting Hill tomorrow.
All right.
Maybe not in DFS, but in DLS. I'm starting Hill.
But if he doesn't get you a touchdown.
Oh, there are so many people we could say that about.
I guess that's true.
Come on. It's clear. If you can't start tomorrow against Cleveland, you probably shouldn't be on your team.
All right, let me tell you something. Guys, the Cleveland Browns are going to win tomorrow. Mark it down. Take the 5.5 points.
So, Pete, let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, Pete. Browns are going to win. He'll be right. Oh, great. But Pryor will be terrible, and he'll be right. And I want to strangle him twice. Twice I want to strangle him.
All right, well, hopefully. Listen, I'm not cheering for any of these things. Well, I do. I may have the Browns plus 5.5. So I may be cheering for some things. But there's no reason we need to talk more about this game. Let's move on. Another game. I think this is very interesting. In the AFC playoff picture, the Denver Broncos travel to first place Tennessee Titans in that three-way tie in the AFC South. We were talking off air a little bit before. You kind of think that Trevor Siemian has a chance to look more like he did against Kansas City. I kind of think that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. They are not entirely pleased with Trevor Siemian. They're also not pleased with that backfield. Devontae Booker, you know, he's just, quite frankly, he's not doing it. In their last game, 18 carries, 35 yards. He did get into the end zone. They liked Bibbs instead, but now Bibbs is on the IR with a high ankle sprain. They just signed Justin Forsett, and they think he's going to get snaps this week. Can you help me make sense of the Denver backfield?
Kubiak has had Forsett before, multiple times.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're a Devontae Booker owner, he's been playing terrible anyway, and now you get this, and your Kubiak has said it, they're going to split snaps. Now we don't know what that means. You get one snap, technically you did split.
Right, they're going to cancel each other out, and neither one of them are going to be valuable
for us. I think that's the biggest worry. The offensive line is still terrible anyway. It may not matter. As far as Siemian's concerned, we were talking about whether or not Denver will pick up another quarterback in the offseason.
Right.
And I think Siemian has played well enough where they're going to stay away from a Romo or
a Cutler.
Cutler, he'll be a free agent, but Romo would have to give up something for him.
Fine.
I think they'll go stay away from that.
Sign a little Ryan Fitzpatrick action.
That would veteran backup, that wouldn't shock, because Paxton Lynch was...
no good.
He was bad.
Yeah, he defecated the mattress in his one opportunity. And also, the thing is, this also, to me, this impacts the pass catchers. You know, you probably drafted Demaryius Thomas as a wideout one. You know, Manny Sanders, you thought was going to be a great play for you. Listen, you never know. These guys go back and forth. Manny Sanders, after a great game 2 weeks ago, last week only three catches for 28 yards. How confident are you feeling rolling these guys out?
Not with Paxton Lynch.
But we think it's going to be Simeon. You know, they think he's coming back and is going to play. But against this Tennessee defense in a game in Tennessee where Tennessee needs this game to stay on track in that AFC
South. They both
South,
need it. It's a big game.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I say on shot callers, I think the Denver Broncos are not going to make the playoffs here, George.
I'm with you.
Okay, check this out. Check this out, Pete.
It is Cleveland.
Fair enough. Could Alabama?
not a college guy. I think we discussed this already. Is Alabama number one? I don't even know.
Yeah, they're number one. It looks like on these Madden simulations that they can even beat the Cleveland Browns. But check this out.
Are they still
Pete.
A state?
Yeah, last I checked, Nick Saban may run for governor. Who knows there? But yo, check this out, Pete. The Denver Broncos are 8-4. Okay? Listen to their schedule. Okay, they're at Tennessee this week. I actually love Exotic Smash Mouth and the Tennessee Titans. I think they're going to get that game.
Me too.
And Denver's going to fall to 8-5, personally.
I'm with you.
Check this out. Versus New England, week 15.
That is a tough game.
At Kansas City.
Another tough game.
And they close off with the Oakland Raiders.
So what's your best case scenario? 2-2?
Yeah, I do not think the Denver Broncos make the playoffs. In fact, I think that two teams from the AFC North make the playoffs. I think both Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, kind of challenge each other and finish off the year hot.
That's tough, though.
I'm telling you.
We said Denver 2-2, right?
Yeah.
That gives them 10 wins.
That gets them to 10.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh play each other.
They do?
So that means they have one of those teams has to win the other three.
So here's the thing. I don't think Denver goes 2-2. I think they go 1-3.
You go 1-3.
I think they go 1-3.
Don't shock me. I'm not doubting you at all.
I think they go 1-3. I mean, find me their win. They need this game on Sunday. Because after that, Pats, Chiefs, Raiders, that gets very tough. If you're
brutal.
Marking it down, when you're counting that 2-2, in your opinion, George, I got to think you think this Sunday is one of the wins, right?
I think Tennessee wins the game. I agree with you. But I think Denver has to win the game.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, I think Chiefs and Raiders make it from the West. I think, obviously, you know, only New England. I think, you know, only one in the South, but I think either the Ravens or the Steelers, whoever finishes in second place, will wind up better than Denver and in the AFC playoffs. I think the Broncos are in a very bad situation. Let's go to Tennessee, though. You think they're going to win this game? Marcus Mariota, could he be in the MVP conversation as well? He has like QB4, and you probably drafted him very late. I love Exotic Smash Mouth. When we get a little bit later on in our DFS lineups, you're going to see me giving out DeMarco Murray, because that's the way you beat this Denver Broncos team. They're number one in the NFL against the pass, this defense, but number 28 in the NFL against the run. This Exotic Smash Mouth and DeMarco Murray, I'm riding him, especially coming off the bye, a little bit more time to get that turf toe he had a little bit better. I like DeMarco Murray big time in this game.
Oh, completely agree. You can run on Denver right up the middle. That's where you attack them. I think Tennessee to win the game, Murray up the middle, Mariota don't make mistakes.
Right.
If it's not there, either scramble, throw the ball away. Yep. Don't be throwing the ball to Chris Harrison.
No. Delaney Walker is your best friend here.
Right. If Rashard Matthews and Kendall Wright can't get the job done, that's life. We know what they're at Denver strong. They're not going to score a lot of points. Even if Simeon's playing tomorrow, he's questionable. I expect him to play. They're not going to score a ton of points.
Right.
The defense should be good enough to hold them down to the 17 range. So you're really looking at a 2017 bowl game here. Don't make mistakes. Whichever team makes the least amount of mistakes, I think, wins this game here. Tennessee coming off the bye, fresher team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they win the game.
At home as well. Are you worried at all about Derrick Henry, you know, eating into some of the Murray production?
Might have been if Tennessee wasn't playing for a division title here.
Mm-hmm.
Murray's had a fantastic season. You want to talk about MVPs.
Absolutely.
He's in the MVP, fantasy
Fair
MVP
enough.
Category.
Fair enough.
He's had a fantastic season. The only reason I would be worried is the injury worse than they're telling us.
Right, but they had the bye. He had the bye to get off. But here's the other thing I'll say, and I would love to get your thought on this philosophically. This is the time of year when rookie running backs start to grow in their production, start to take a bigger part of the carries, you know. And I think that that's at play here with Derrick Henry. I think that's at play with guys like Kenneth Dixon. I think that's at play with guys like Paul Perkins. You know, later on in the season, these rookie running backs start to come on. I'd be worried about them starting to try to save DeMarco Murray a little bit for a potential playoff game.
Can't save them. You're in a playoff run here.
Right.
You're not 10, you're not 10-3 here.
This is true. They are 6-6, but yet somehow in first place
in the AFC South. All right, it's a fun division to play in.
Hey, if 8-8 could get it done, yo, check it out. When we come back, we're going to keep on going to the games. There are so many games in Week 14 with no buys anymore. This is George Kurtz and Dane Martinez filling in for Mike Blewett. They call me the spitting statistician. Roto Experts in the morning, holding you down on a Saturday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George Kurtz and Dane Martinez with you here on Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Dane Martinez filling in for Mike Blewett. They call me Speeds, the spitting statistician. We are going to dive into the rest of these.
Where is Mike Blewett?
I don't know. I think he's on vacation. I got an email from Cardano being like, hey, can you cover for Blewett? I said, sure. I'm already doing a show Friday night on the network. Let me just get in my sleeping bag right here at Studio 34 Live at Rock and Riley's. Exactly.
You got some room here?
Me and Pete, you know, we broke night over here in the Rock and Riley studio. Different from the happy hour vibe. Now we got omelets and we got orange juices and we got coffee. We also have a caller on the line. I do believe we got our friend from New York with a running back question.
Hey guys,
what's going on? How you doing, Steve?
Quick question. Can I give you the wide receiver question first?
Fire away, man.
All right, they're pretty banged up. I got Evans, who's a lock. I need two more out of the five I'm going to give you, if you don't mind. Brandon LaFell, Tyrell Williams, Marshall, Mike Thomas, and Tyler Boyd.
Well, they are banged up. You're right about that. I'm taking Marshall out.
Yep.
Evans is a lock.
Evans is a lock. We already talked earlier that we kind of like Tyrell Williams.
I like Tyrell Williams.
Right, so I'm going to put him in. And then here's the thing. You've got LaFell and Boyd. You have two Bengals in there.
PPR or standard, Steve?
PPR, I apologize.
That's good. Okay. Are we starting Thomas? I can't. Not from what I know right now.
I agree with you. I can't either. I'm going with one of the two Bengals I'm going with, so we got Mike Evans, obviously. Then I'm going Tyrell Williams. And then when it comes to LaFell or Boyd, I think LaFell is the safer play. I think LaFell is the one who will get you like your five catches for 50. But Boyd is the one with the bigger upside and the one who I think could get into the end zone. So with already Mike Evans, and I'm going to give him LaFell.
I'm going Boyd.
All right.
PPR. I agree with you about the safe play. LaFell is a safe play, but Scott Engel and I were discussing this all week. We both like LaFell and Boyd. If it was standard LaFell, PPR, Boyd, Boyd higher upside for me, I'm going to go with Boyd.
There you have it, Steve. That's your first question. You got a running back question as well? You can keep on going with us here.
Thanks so much. I apologize. I got David Johnson.
Start David Johnson. How about that? Start David Johnson.
Of course.
Fantastic analysis.
I apologize. Do I play Riddick? Do I play Riddick, Rawls, or Freeman as my number two?
I wish I had these problems.
Yeah, this is hashtag championship problems over here.
This is because I listen to you guys all the time.
That's right. Now you're in the playoffs, right?
My team is pretty stacked. It's a keeper. I was able to keep David Johnson at number six.
Very good.
Because of last year.
Very, very good. Let me ask it to you this way, George. We were worried about the weather in Green Bay. Right? What does that mean? Thomas Rawls is one of the guys he put in there.
Love Rawls.
Do you see Rawls getting 25 carries tomorrow?
I think 25 is a little high.
Okay, in the snow? But you were saying that Russell's not going to do it in the snow.
I think Russell will be fine. I think if it's 6 to 8 inches, nobody can move. It's a little different than flurries like we saw last week. 6 to 8 inches is some serious snow.
Fair enough. I'm leaning towards Rawls here.
I'm going Freeman. I can't not start Freeman.
You like Freeman?
I like Freeman. I mean, I like them all. They're all good starts.
The only thing I'm a little bit worried about Freeman is they're talking up Tevin Coleman this week. Okay, Tevin Coleman coming back from
the
injury.
He's another guy. He's Travis Benjamin all over again.
Coming back from the injury, they're saying he's finally looking spry this week. I'd be a little bit worried of Tevin Coleman, especially out of the backfield and maybe vulturing some touch. I'm worried about
Jones
that.
Hampered, Sanu's out. Maybe they got to run the ball even more.
Very possible.
Freeman, I can't.
Very
I can't,
possible. He goes Freeman. I go Rawls on that one. But remember, you're in a good place. These are good problems to have for your obvious playoff team.
I'd kill for this problem.
Listen, when you win your week, come on back next week when you're in your semifinals and call us back. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll help you out who to start.
One more question.
Oh, fire away, fire away. We got
Actually,
you, man.
One more. Olsen or Great while I have you.
I mean,
I know it's a stupid question.
It's not stupid.
It's not a stupid question. Greg Olsen has not been doing it over the last couple of weeks, and we're talking about the Carolina Panthers as a team that is kind of unraveling, maybe have packed it in, and Cameron Brate looks like he has some kind of good connection with Jameis Winston against that Saints
pass
defense. Against that Saints pass defense. It's not crazy. It's not crazy to ask this question. I know you probably have been loving Greg Olsen, but it might be time to accept it and actually start Cameron Brate in this scenario.
It's only Evans and Brate in Tampa Bay.
Right.
No Humphreys tomorrow. He's out with a concussion. So
Saints pass defense?
There's all your targets. I'm going Brate. For the
I'm also
you mentioned,
going Brate. I'm also going Brate. Listen, you could be confident. I know it sounds crazy, but hey, on Roto Experts right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're saying start Cameron Brate over Greg Olsen. Hopefully that's holding you down. Remember, call us next week when you're in the semifinals, all right?
You got it. Thanks so much. Enjoy your day, guys.
Fair enough. You as well. Next game, what we were talking about this incredible AFC South divisional matchup. The Houston Texans go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts.
It's a big game.
It is a very big game. Whoever wins this one, you know, is in pole position to host a playoff game. George, how does that sound? How does that roll off the tongue for you? Listen, we talked about DeAndre Hopkins a little bit, and we talked about how horrible Brock Osweiler is. The one name I'm going to give out, maybe if you don't have Gronk, maybe if, you know, Gronk is hurt, maybe Jordan Reed you're a little bit worried about, C.J. Fedorowicz, man. C.J. Fedorowicz is a part of this offense. Last week, catching 6 of 9 targets for 44 yards. Also looking for him in the red zone a little bit. I think you can play C.J. Fedorowicz this week.
Well, sure. He's actually in the league. The only league I had Gronk in, I traded for him at the deadline. Outstanding move.
Very good move there.
Fedorowicz is my backup for him, so he's the guy I'm starting. My only problem with Fedorowicz is they don't look for him in the red zone and in the end zone enough.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ryan Griffin got the touchdown list.
That's right. But there's really nobody out there in Houston. Once again, you're dependent on Brock Osweiler, and I would not be dependent on the $72 million noose that is around that franchise. Before we go to break real quick, though, Pete, on the Indianapolis side of things, here's my question for you, George. Is Dante Moncrief touchdown dependent?
Doesn't matter. He's scoring touchdowns
every single week, it seems like, right?
If that's all he does, that's fine.
Is he Chris Carter? All he does is catch touchdowns?
It seems to be, right?
I'm telling you. I mean, so...
He could have had a monster game. He dropped another touchdown last week. That would have cost me a week. Yeah.
I know, but here's the thing. Like, if you're in the playoffs and you need that touchdown in order to advance, because otherwise he's going, what, 5 for 53, something like that. He's got to get in the end zone for you.
But you know they're going to get there a bunch of times, and Andrew Luck looks for him every time. So that's why he's valuable.
He definitely is Andrew Luck's favorite target, especially in the red zone. I think he scored a touchdown. Like, every time that Moncrief and Luck are in the lineup, it's something like 90% of the time, he gets...
You're getting six.
Yeah, he's getting six. Yo, hopefully you're getting six out of all these picks that we're giving you. George Kurtz and Dane Martinez, they call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician. Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
And not so fast. It's not Mike and George this week. This is Dane and George, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician, but this is still Roto Experts in the Morning live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going game by game here in week 14 to give you everything you need to win your league and win that cash. People perking up here at Rock and Riley's here at Studio 34. Some people coming down for breakfast, starting to get their morning coffee in. George still yawning. That's why in the industry we call this me killing time, me vamping over here.
Some of us worked last night, okay? I'm reffing hockey games.
Hey, I had shot callers on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 7 to 8 p.m. I know Pete was here as well. And Pete, check us out. As we go into our next game, which is the Washington football team against the Philadelphia Eagles, we did not include the Washington football team in our poll, but what are people saying on that FNTSY radio poll? Which team do people believe is the team that could upset the apple cart for an NFC championship game of Cowboys Seahawks? Who do people think could crash the party?
In the lead, Giants with 56%, Falcons with 24%.
24%, Lions with 12, and no love for the Bucks at 8%.
We'll see what those Giants fans think after JPP is gone and after they play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. But for us to get to that game, we got to get to this game first. The Washington football team, they traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. This game is a pick 'em. Interesting, they played a 27-20 game back earlier in the season. On the Washington side of things, George, one person I'm intrigued by is Fat Rob Kelly. I think, you know, they've been talking about him trying to get more opportunities, more involved. To me, it's a question of game flow with Washington, right? If they get down early, it's going to be all Chris Thompson out of the backfield, and Rob Kelly is not going to see the field at all. However, if Washington is up, then they want to try to run the ball. Then you have a little bit of opportunity for Fat Rob out of Tulane to get into the end zone and get some production, no?
Well, they're not going to be down. Is Philadelphia another team that's mailed it in?
True, but they're a much better team at home. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, Atlanta went in there and lost. The Steelers went in there and lost.
I ain't talking the first.
All right, so we think they're already booking their tee times, looking about their all-inclusive vacations in Cancun starting in January.
Sounds good to me.
I'm saying, if you're Carson Wentz, maybe that's where you want to go.
Wentz has regressed. He's having the rookie blues now.
Yeah, they got some tape on him. They made some adjustments. The other thing that happened in Philadelphia, you know, they're without their Pro Bowl left tackle Lane Johnson for the last, almost, this is what, the ninth out of 10 games that he's missing?
He's suing everybody too.
He sure is. He's taking that Trump approach to us. But so you think they're going to be up, so maybe Rob Kelly is viable at only 5,900 at
FanDuel? Yeah. I don't know if I'd go for him in DFS.
Okay.
Maybe. I think he's more of a cheat because I think he's going to be somewhat touchdown dependent.
Right.
Not going to be a guy who's going to rush the ball, you know, 22 times for 110 yards. I don't see that.
Sure.
This is a throwing team and a very good throwing team.
You like that? I like that.
I'm a Cowboy fan, so no.
Ooh,
I really don't. But Kirk Cousins has been fantastic anyway. You look at it, he banked on himself, and he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's going to get $23-plus million, and if it's not from Washington, it's going to be somewhere. And that brings me to another poll question we had, right? If you were a team that's looking for a new quarterback, I mean, obviously Kirk Cousins would be the...
He's not going anywhere.
But where are you going? Do you like these older retreads, the Tony Romos, the Jay Cutlers, the Ryan Fitzpatrick? Do you like maybe a guy like a Mike Glennon, a Jimmy Garoppolo, a Geno Smith, maybe an unproven young kid? Where are you going if you're, say, like, in my opinion, for example, the Arizona Cardinals? They need to move on because Carson Palmer's falling off a cliff.
I might agree with you about Carson Palmer needing to move on. We've talked about this many times. They're win now team, right? Fitzgerald's not going to be there.
So you install a veteran in that situation.
I think the veteran you look at there is probably Romo, I don't know if they can give Dallas enough to give Romo to Arizona in your own conference, a team that will threaten you.
Could wind up seeing each other.
Romo might be the best piece of their puzzle there.
What if you're a team like another win now team like the Denver Broncos, and you realize that it's not Simeon, that it's not Paxton Lynch,
and they liked Romo. I mean, it's back on Mike Shanahan.
But back in the day,
they liked Romo. Before.
Do you think you could see a reunion of Jay Cutler going back to Denver?
No.
All right. So where do you go if you're Denver? Ryan Fitzpatrick? You go Mike Glennon?
I think Romo makes some sense there.
In Denver.
I don't think
he was lobbying for it a little bit, too. You heard maybe his agent came out and said, Denver would be a great place.
But the thing is Denver willing to move on from Lynch and Semien?
No, but at the same time, you know, this defense is now. You know, by the time Paxton Lynch is, you know, a serviceable quarterback, you don't even know if he'll ever get there. That could be three years.
Then all of
a sudden you don't have Aqib Talib anymore. You know, like that. Those sort of things happen.
Now, Romo will restructure his contract.
Right. Well, he better.
But he's not going to take $1.50.
True.
Denver's right up against that cap.
This is true.
I mean, even restructures it, he's getting, let's say he takes $10 million in incentives. That might put them over the cap. It'll cause some cap problems for Denver. With Semien there, I think Semien, next four games, if he shows, doesn't need to be fantastic, but if he shows he can handle the job, then I don't think they're going to move
on.
I think he has the leash for next year. And they'll bring Lynch on, sort of what the Titans did with Steve McNair years ago, years, where he'll sit and learn, because he looks bad.
All right, well, so, these are none of these quarterbacks are quarterbacks that people need to worry about for Week 14.
No.
Right? So let's get back into Week 14. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, though. You know, Jordan Matthews returning, Ryan Matthews returning, Doriel Green Beckham out. What's going to happen on this running back side? Are you a Sproles fan here? Or, like, you know, I mean, this running back room now is going to be a huge committee between Sproles. You got a returning Matthews. You even got Wendell Smallwood getting some love. Can you really trust any of these guys?
No.
Outside of maybe Zach Ertz? I liked Ertz. I'll run out Ertz, but
I don't mind Jordan Matthews either.
Even in his first game back, you remember, you were talking about that first game back.
I'm not thrilled about it. I only have him in one league, and I'm not starting. I'm deep at wide receiver. I can sit him.
Is Norman going to be on him too?
No, slot receiver.
That's true.
So probably not. I would say Norman will be on him, yeah, maybe a quarter of the times.
Right.
Norman generally does not
doesn't like
the
to
slot.
Go into the slot. That's true.
So he doesn't even like to travel, really. But so I don't think you'll see him.
He
a
likes
lot.
To travel. I think it's more the defensive coordinator that doesn't want them traveling. Well, he said he'll shadow anybody.
What's he gonna say?
He says a lot. He says a lot. He says a lot.
But people have to remember. You think, oh, it's just so easy to move the corner. No, because your whole defense.
It moves everything. It absolutely moves everything. Yeah, it's not just that one player. It's about how you know the entire defense as a whole.
And plus, you're putting other people in unfamiliar. Travel.
Right. You're putting in this case, what, Breshad Breeland? That's not a good idea.
No, that's not very good either. So I think Matthews, I'm okay with if he comes to that. Ertz, I have no problem. He's a tight end one for me. The running game you mentioned. I mean, Matthews,
Sproles in PPR leagues,
Sproles, I'm interested in you. I don't mind Sproles. The other guys, I'll pass.
All right, fair enough. Let's get another game in. We talked the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go up to Buffalo.
Big game.
To take on, remember, I think both teams from the AFC North will advance. So that means I need Pittsburgh in this game. Listen, on Pittsburgh, you already know. You already know about Ben. You already know about Lev Bell. You already know about Antonio Brown. I want to talk Ladarius Green here, George. I think this is a guy that is growing. Again, I'm trying to give him tight ends. Remember Cameron Brate we talked about Zach Ertz as well. Remember, if you're a team that was riding Gronk to your fantasy playoffs, if you're a team that was riding Jordan Reed to your fantasy playoffs, and although we do think Reed maybe coming back today, I'm a little bit cautious on that. Ladarius Green is a guy that I am putting in my lineups, and I am very happy to do so. I think he's going to get into the red zone targets. I think he gets in the end zone this week against the Buffalo Bills. I'm high on Ladarius Green.
We just talked about the Washington game.
Sure.
We talked about Green. You're starting Green over Reed. You're worried about Reed. We didn't talk about him.
I am worried about Reed. This guy is Mr. Glass, okay? He never
gets hurt anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He comes back in this game. There is no guarantee that he finishes this game anyway. And let me tell you the other thing. Not for nothing, but Vernon Davis has been viable even when Jordan Reed is in there, right? So if I got some bumps and bruises, you know, I'm right. You know, Vernon Davis is just fine. Yes, I'm taking a wait and see approach. I'm not risking my season on a returning Jordan Reed. Yes, I like Ladarius Green in that situation.
Does the Pittsburgh offense being on the road bother you? Generally, nowhere near as good.
No, they're definitely a different team on the road, but no, because if they're down or if this is a kind of ball control game, which I think Rex Ryan, Anthony Lynn, and Shady McCoy are going to want to turn it into up in Buffalo, it might be a lower scoring game. They might not have the ball in their hands as much, but I still think that Ladarius Green is the kind of guy who will help them 20-20 and in the red zone. No, I'm very high on Ladarius Green.
So much.
And at only Ladarius Green is only 5,800 on FanDuel. There's a lot of he's like the tight end 7 on FanDuel. I like Ladarius Green big time. On the Buffalo side of things, there's really not much to say, right? I mean, Shady McCoy, check. You were already talking about Sammy Watkins.
Watkins scares the life out of me.
Yeah, but this is the way to beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's 6th in the NFL in run defense, but you can get them over the top. I still think they're going to ride Shady McCoy, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of attempts big time down the field to Sammy Watkins.
Agreed, I think that's what they'll do.
They'll take some shots.
You got to take some shots.
Will he remain healthy is another question.
Not
right?
For any length of time. We know
exactly.
That's
the thing. I actually thought 2 weeks ago when he came back, I was like, ooh, then that following week they had Oakland. I was like, ooh, that's a nice pass defense to go against as long as Sammy Watkins was healthy. Then, of course, you hear Thursday, Friday, oh, he's sore.
We practice on Wednesday.
He's always sore, man. So I don't know. I that's another kind of guy, especially in the cold out there in Buffalo.
Great talent, but Tyrod Taylor's been off a little bit lately.
Yeah, he has been. And there's actually news this week. They're saying they are not necessarily committed to Tyrod Taylor. I think this is a negotiating leverage ploy, because if you don't have Tyrod Taylor, where are you going as a franchise?
Just listen to the GM when he talked the other day. If you believe in PR, this seemed to be like they were leading up to
it. Yeah.
Right. They were leading up to telling you at the end of the year, we're going to move on.
Exactly. They are laying the foundation. Maybe they're also in the market for one of these guys.
Yes.
You know, your Mike Glennons of the world, maybe. Something like that.
Are you big on Mike Glennon?
I am big on Mike Glennon. I think he is a legitimate NFL quarterback. Where are they going to go? You think they're going to, Rex wants to reunite with Geno Smith, bring him up there with IK?
I'm going
to
say no.
Yeah, probably not. Let's get in another game, but there's not much to talk about on this game. And I'm talking about the Minnesota Vikings traveling down to Jacksonville. I hear it already out of you. Listen, are there any Jaguars you run out there in the playoffs? Blake Bortles, garbage time. Not against this Minnesota defense
Bortles
and Xavier Bumpy Rhodes.
I mean, name a Jaguar. Bortles, no. We have a tough Minnesota
defense.
What
about Marquise Lee? Lee out of all the receivers, has been getting some
like
targets.
Him the best.
Yeah, and I mean, Allen Robinson, if you drafted Allen Robinson, and I was actually saying in PPR leagues that Allen Robinson was a top six pick this year going into the year. I thought he was going to be the guy who, in essence, did. I thought he was going to do, in essence, what Mike Evans has done this year and actually join that elite group of pass catchers. That didn't happen. Allen Hurns has faded. Julius Thomas has faded. The running game is horrible. Yeah, Marquise Lee, however, I do believe is a viable flex option.
He's been an underrated player all season.
Absolutely.
Well, he's not going to win you a championship, but I mean, if you want to go cheap, especially on DFS, I can see it. I expect Xavier Rhodes to be on Allen Robinson most of the day.
Bumpy Rhodes.
And he's been fantastic.
Absolutely. So has, though, Terrence Newman, to be quite honest. At age, what, 38?
38. I mean, ooh, God
I wish
bless.
I could still do it like that.
I'm 47. I mean, God.
What does Pro Football Focus have you rated as, though?
Not very well.
Fair enough.
It's the height thing, you know.
All right. On the Minnesota side, there are two people I want to ask you about, two pass catchers. I am a big fan of Stephon. Can you digs it? Especially since the switch to Shermer at offensive coordinator. They're trying to get the ball out of Bradford's hands as quickly as possible because TJ Clemens is competing to be the worst offensive tackle maybe in the history of the NFL. I literally think Pete, if you put like what inanimate object could you put on the line to do better than TJ Clemens? Maybe like a hurdle
cone.
A traffic cone. Maybe if you actually put like a reclining chair at right tackle, it could do better than TJ Clemens.
He's like a matador with the red thing.
Exactly. So I think that being said, they're trying to get the ball out of Bradford's hands as quickly as possible. I think, you know, Stephon Diggs has been a target monster ever since they switched that offensive coordinator. But what about Adam Thielen also?
I mean, I like Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, can you dig Diggs?
I think Jacksonville, you know, we make fun of this team for obvious reasons.
Of course.
But they can rush the quarterback a little bit.
Yeah, sure. This is true.
He's not going to have a whole lot of time back
right.
there.
Right, and they know that already. Sam Bradford seeing the rush, we'll
say. Do you find it, by the way, ironic that Bradford, another guy made a glass through the years, he's been bum crushed this year. I mean, absolutely crushed.
Yet there he is, staying in there. I give a lot of props to Sam Bradford, not only for staying in there, but like digesting the playbook very quickly in a tough situation.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I think he gets a bad rap, but no. Thielen, maybe we're on the fence on
maybe.
Thielen.
Maybe, it really depends on what else on your roster. I'm leaning towards no. He might be once, and he's 6,000 on FanDuel. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Let's see that little cheap, like, let's see it in the 5,500 range, but.
So all right, so we may stay away from him, but we will lock and load Stephon Diggs, wideout two, probably in your lineup. So let's go to another game. We're starting to get into these afternoon games. One more game before the break here, Pete, because it's another game that there is not much to discuss. Listen, I am a J-E-T-S, Jets fan, but yeah, trust me, I know. My family's had season tickets ever since Shea Stadium, but then the PSLs did me in. But in this game, what? On the Jets side of things, you know, one of the callers asked about Brandon Marshall before. I am fading Brandon Marshall. You can't trust Bryce Petty. Just like the Jets, Bryce Petty is free falling. And so the question is, do you
Tom
run out?
Petty there. Look at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're bringing it in here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. How do you feel, though, about starting Matt Forte?
I won't,
against the historically bad San Francisco 49er run defense.
I won't back down.
Okay. Oh, look at this. All the references we're getting in here. So, okay, we could start Matt Forte, but I was a little worried. What happens if the Jets are on just completely, like, let's see what the kids can do mode? Remember, you saw, like, Robbie Anderson got something like 10 targets in the second half of,
the
Monday Night Football game. Right, but I'm saying, like, in the same way that we're fading Marshall, is this just, like, complete dumpster fire and just let all the kids play? I'm worried to see a lot of Bilal Powell instead of Matt Forte tomorrow.
I can go with that as well. I can see where you're going with that, and I agree with you, and it does make some sense.
That's what I try and do. I try and make sense over here.
That's a good thing every now and then. Mike Blewett never makes sense. I get that. But still, what do we know about San Fran?
You can
run on them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be alive the next day, but I can run on them.
Listen, my Pro Football Focus grade, not that bad.
I hear you don't hit the hole right away.
This is true.
But
I learned from Le'Veon Bell.
I'm starting Forte.
Okay.
Would you start Forte
over Carlos Hyde? In this game.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
Forte is the back to own in
Jets,
this game.
I mean, what do they do well?
Stop the run.
Yeah,
right?
But not if you saw the effort out of Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson in the last couple of games. They not care. They're not showing up for meetings. Muhammad Wilkerson doesn't even want a birthday cake at his meeting. So I think this could be an, you know, we talked about teams that are giving up, that are mailing it in. I think the Jets are one of those teams. I can see Carlos Hyde breaking out. Colin Kaepernick also playing for his NFL career. Nice floor. We gave the call.
Where's he going next year?
Maybe the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Also, it's a little preview here.
It could be. I could see him. I could see him in. I could see him in New York. I could also see him. I wouldn't see him in a team like Chicago. I think New York is a very interesting place. Maybe Kaepernick wants a little bit more of a platform for his advocacy.
Well, speaking of your Jets,
yeah,
what do they do? Now, there's sort of also this team.
You got
veteran wide receivers. So, do you want to go for a Romo cover type, or
you're right?
Are you blowing it up?
No. So the only quarterbacks that are on. Under contract and on the roster are Christian Hackisack and Bryce Petty, right? I think you keep them on the roster. And, you know, I've been talking about my boy Mike Glennon for a lot. But I think what you have to do is I think they're going to draft a quarterback because apparently they draft a quarterback every year. But I think, no, I think they go for one of these little stopgap kind of guys, unfortunately, because this is not the time. You know, they took their shot. It didn't work out. I think now they have to acknowledge and break it back down.
I think you're probably right. I think they will bring in somebody. I don't know if it'll be Glennon. I don't think we're going
to. How about a little Jimmy Garoppolo get a little bit of that New England feel in there?
This kid can play too.
He can. I mean, you know, there's guys. I'm telling you, there's guys like Garoppolo, guys like Mike Glennon, guys like AJ McCarron out there. That you know, that's the way I would go. One of these young guys that wants a second chance to prove
themselves.
Unusual
with so many quarterbacks to be. I mean, decent quarterbacks.
The offseason is going to be very interesting. Where the merry-go-round goes. Check it out. When we come back, we're going to get into more of these late games. We got some real good late afternoon games. We've already figured out that the national game is going to be the Seahawks-Packers. We've talked about a little bit about that.
I love games in the
snow. We're going to find out what else to look for in the snow when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning, George and Dane holding you down on a Saturday morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yes, yes, yes. We got George Kurtz. We got Dane Martinez, the Kobe Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. This is Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays, holding you down, giving you everything you need to win your league and win that cash. Hey, George, so far we've been, you know, when we go into the teams, we've been seeing that there's going to be an interesting quarterback market next year in the offseason. And we put up a poll question on that FNTSY radio Twitter handle and was like, if you needed a new quarterback, what approach are you taking? Are you taking, you know, these retreads, the guys like the Cutlers, the Fitzpatricks, the Romos, or guys like my guy Mike Glennon, the Jimmy Garoppolos, the Geno Smith, some of the younger unproven, or are you just, you know, making one of those trades, jumping up to the top of the draft for guys like Deshaun Watson, maybe Brad Kaya out of Miami? Are you giving your backup a chance, someone you've groomed like an AJ McCarron potentially in Cincinnati? It depends on the team, obviously, but for some of these teams like the Jets we're talking about, where are the Jets going to go for quarterback?
It's interesting because the Jets have to decide, do you want to go for it again? Do you feel you have?
But that's what Woody Johnson does. That's what Woody Johnson does. Did it with Brett Favre. Did it by bringing in. That's what he wants. He wants the back page of the Daily News.
Well, that's why everybody figures, because of what he did with Favre, that Romo could be an option there.
Oh, God,
to make
please no.
Noise again.
Please no.
I think you'll find out before this. Oh, the Jets going to, they're going to keep Marshall and Decker, then you sort of have to go.
You got to go for it, right?
Right. If you're going to get rid of them, well, then you can rebuild.
Right.
And do whatever you want to do there. The problem is, you know, you sign Glennon. You're not signing these guys cheaply.
There's going to be a market for
them. He's going to get an Osweiler contract.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He took it $72 million.
Oh,
75
God.
Million.
Yeah, it's good work if you can get it.
Damn
Hold
it.
A clipboard for 4 years and then get paid $15 to $20 million a year. Hey, Pete, what are the people saying? What are the listeners saying for this question? What direction do they go?
We got 43% on the early draft pick.
Oh, they want Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Hope springs eternal with kids.
Of course, you got to have that pick in the first place, or you got to give up a boatload of picks.
You
got to
have that kid, and then you got to have a locker room that wants this kind of quarterback instead of some of these veterans, you know, coming in, like, they think that this is a then 3-year project, and they, you know, everyone's on a different cycle.
You gotta think Cleveland's gonna take one.
Have I would to. Think so. They unless my man RG3 starts with a win tomorrow against the Cleveland Browns.
You gotta go 4-0 then.
All right, let's get into some teams that actually still have a chance. One of them is the Atlanta Falcons. They got a game going to Los Angeles.
You almost said the Rams first.
I did almost say the Rams, because you know what it is? Jeff Fisher still has a chance to go 8-8 like he always does. You know, I hear they're moving Jeff Fisher Day, though. It used to be August 8th. They're moving it back now to July 9th because it's not even 8-8 anymore. Now it's 7-9. The man doesn't know who's playing running back for the Patriots. The man can't find his challenge flag.
That was funny.
That was very bad. I think the number one offense in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, go into Los Angeles. They need this game. They get this game. We've talked a lot about this game. No Mohamed Sanu. Julio Jones still dealing
turf
with that
toe.
Turf toe. They've used him as a decoy in the past for entire halves of games.
But can they do it tomorrow without Sanu?
All right, so here's my question. Tyler Gabriel.
Almost a must start.
Tyler Gabriel, right? Boom or bust.
Price.
Boom or bust wide receiver with those next-gen stats. You see him going 21 miles an
5400.
Hour. That's a nice little play, huh? What do you think? Can we endorse that?
I can endorse that, yeah. I think it'll be a must play for me. excuse me. We know Sanu's out.
Yeah.
Jones, best case, hampered.
Right, but I mean, down. Even hampered, he could go for seven for 120 and two touchdowns.
I'm not worried about it.
But I'm just thinking, like, they might use him more as a decoy, which means more Tevin Coleman, more Devontae Freeman, and more Tyler Gabriel.
We discussed this on Old School Fantasy yesterday Jake Seeley and Scott Angle. Julio Jones, are you redraft leagues?
Yeah.
Are you starting him? Let's say we're going pretty far down the list here, guys. We talked about Inman.
I have to start Julio. Because here's the thing. In my season-long playoffs, one of the ways I look at it is, what would I kick myself over more?
That's the same thing I answer right? I give a lot of people.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's say I start Julio Jones over Dontrell Inman, right? And Julio is something of a decoy, goes 5 for 37, right? And Inman blows up. I feel like, oh man, that really sucks. If I decided to get cute and start Dontrell Inman over Julio Jones, and then Julio Jones goes 8 for 165 and two touchdowns, I can't live with myself. Then I'm really kicking myself for the next, like, 6 months. You gotta play your studs. I mean, there's a couple of ones that, you know, have been killing you all season. We talked about Allen Robinson. Another guy in this game, Todd Gurley, we talked about. Those are guys that, okay,
LVP.
Maybe I can't start anymore, right? I can't start them. But Julio Jones, if he's on my roster, I am running him out there in the
playoffs. I'm with you. Scott Nux. Jake went the other way.
Really?
I don't remember if Inman was one of the guys, but guys around that range.
I hear you. And on that level, it's the idea of, like, this name value that you've been struggling with all year. But Julio, I mean, come on. I'm running Julio.
I got to go Julio.
All right, and obviously on the Los Angeles Rams, there's not much to talk about. Todd Gurley is, oh my God, he's killing you if you drafted him early.
He could be the LVP.
Yes, I think that. I mean, Todd Gurley, we talked Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson's been okay a couple of weeks, though.
DeAndre Hopkins.
He'd be up there as well.
DeAndre Hopkins has been bad, outside of injury, obviously, you know, because there's some guys that have been injured, guys that went early, like Eddie Lacy that's been injured.
Gurley's been worse than him.
Obviously, yeah. But, yeah, I'd say Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins.
I think they're the top two. Easy.
Are my top two for least valuable players. So let's keep it going now to the national game that we were talking about. Off air that we are really into. We've been talking about this a lot. Weatherman George Kurtz over here is expecting 6 to 8 inches of snow in the freezing tundra of Lambeau Field. You got the Seattle Seahawks hot. They are hot. Maybe they can burn the tundra going against these Green Bay Packers. On the Seattle side of things, I am loving, especially because of the weather, Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls looked great. 15 carries for 106 yards. This team, they like Thomas Rawls. Remember, there was a couple of games last year where Thomas Rawls went for over 200 yards. They gave him 30 carries. Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks have no problem giving the ball to Thomas Rawls early and often. And in this weather, we might see some of that, huh?
All right, let me tell you this.
Fire away.
With the storm watch.
Oh, storm watch here. Mm. Hey, Pete, do we have, like, some kind of a drop or sound for the weatherman over here? Let's work on it. We got a bell for everything. What do we got, actually? What is actually going to be the weather?
The all-purpose bell.
But, yeah, the all-purpose bell. What do we have at around, you know, 4 o'clock out there in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they'll still be the storm watch is expected until midnight tomorrow night for them. Snow expected through Sunday night. So you can have snow during the game. Unless the storm ends up missing a lot of snow here, so they're gonna be playing in it. Accumulations, it's gonna be. It looks like 6 to 8. They're still calling for. They haven't updated any predictions here, so they're playing in the snow tomorrow. Now, it's supposed to start, I guess, heavily overnight, so maybe they can clear off the tarp at one point.
Right.
But either way, that field's gonna be. It's gonna be white.
This is gonna be bad. And listen,
fun.
On the Seattle side of things, I love Thomas Rawls to be able to run the ball in this situation. The Green Bay Packers, however, they have had no running game for a while. Okay, whether it be James Starks, they tried Christine Michael, they tried Ty
Montgomery. Christine Michael revenge game.
It could be. That's true. That could be. But listen. the Green Bay Packers running game is their short passing game. Yes. In fact, you know, Aaron Rodgers getting it out real quick. So in a PPR league, and he's going to, I think he's going to go to the people he trusts, and that's Jordy Nelson. Even in the snow last week, Jordy Nelson, 8 catches for 118 yards. It wasn't the snow that Weatherman George is expecting for tomorrow, but
we could see grass last week.
Right.
I don't know if we can see grass tomorrow.
This is true, but if we, but still, where do they go? They have no other option. They have no real running game. Their running game is the quick pass.
Yeah, I want to, I'm starting Nelson. Unless, okay. unless I'm seeing where, oh my God, these guys need snow boots or, you know, snowmobile to all get around there. That's a little different, but unless it's bad, I'm starting Jordy Nelson. Probably start Devontae Adams too.
Devontae Adams too. Listen, in the snow last week, though, Devontae Adams only caught one of his 7 targets.
But that's what he is. He's inconsistent. He'll have 3
right. And in
the
snow,
bus.
I think Aaron Rodgers goes straight to what he trusts.
Jordy.
Okay, so that's Jordy. And I would also think, here's what that also means to me. That means James Starks out of the backfield. I think the screen game could
dangerous.
Be live
they
tomorrow
used,
in that weather.
They Ty Montgomery again last week. They used him a bunch.
Interesting.
I don't know why they went away from him.
I don't know either.
Working.
That beginning, the first game he was in, I think it was like a Thursday Night Football against the Bears. He looked amazing. I was like, oh, Ty Montgomery, this is a legit running back. And, you know, he's actually like 220 pounds, too. He can take
he
the
was running back in college, I believe.
And Stanford.
So he knows what he's doing. He's
he can
he's
do
too,
that.
He's a little too tall, too upright. But.
I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of the screen game. We're going to see Jordy Nelson. We're going to see a lot of James Starks out of the backfield.
I agree.
That's where I go. You know, George Kurtz letting you know the weather is going to be interesting in Green Bay.
I love snow games.
You
got
to check for that. You got to check for that as we get into December here for you to win your leagues and win that cash. We're going to take another break, Pete. When we come back, we got, oh, I don't know. What do we got? Like 3 more games to talk about? We're going to do that. We're going to take some of your calls. We're going to check in on our polls. We're going to have some fun. We put the fun in functional alcoholic and functional sports radio here. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, George Kurtz and Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Dane Martinez filling in for Mike Blewett. We have George Kurtz with me. We are going through all of the games of Week 14. We've gotten about 80% of the way through. We got 3 more games to talk about here. We're giving you everything you need as you go into your playoffs and season long. Hopefully you're still alive. But if you listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, I'm going to say you probably are alive. Like the caller we had before had some incredible options. Like championship caliber problems worrying about when they were calling in. Do I start Andrew Luck or do I start Ben Roethlisberger?
Wish you know, had these issues.
Do I start David Johnson or do I start Ezekiel Elliott? If you listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, those might be the questions you have because you are probably in the playoffs. So George, let's get them what they need. There's a couple more games we want to get into. I think this is an interesting game because I believe this team, there was no love on the poll question for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But I think they are a hot team. Think about it. Beating Seattle at home. They went into Arrowhead and beat the Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks back. Also went to the West Coast and beat the Chargers. Now they have the New Orleans Saints, who they play twice in the fantasy, you know, in the fantasy playoffs. The Saints come to town. We've been talking about this before. We've said we like Cameron Brate. We say Mike Evans is a lock. What do you think about Doug Martin in this game against a bad Saints defense?
A lot of cooks in the kitchen there.
This is true.
Rodgers is back. Sims may be back. This could be...
Sims coming activated off IR.
This could cause some problems.
Interesting. You also got Pop Quiz, Jock Quiz Rodgers out there. There's a lot of running backs. They want Doug Martin to be the man.
Martin's dealing with something.
Yeah, he got bent back, they said.
Right.
It was bad. He's probably going to be fine. But you're right. There is a crowded running back room there for Tampa. So only Evans and Brate?
I would assume... You're starting Martin. Can you do? Are you better than that? Are you that? You are in one of your leagues. God bless.
Yes.
I'm not. All right. I have Martin. I'm starting him. But if you're deep enough, I'd want to stay away. Maybe here. I'm not so sure here. New Orleans hasn't been as terrible as we. At least not as they were in the first half of the season. They're.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. They're just bad now.
Instead of terrible. They're just bad. What about this? What about Jameis Winston at 8,200? You know, Jameis Winston has been playing a little bit more disciplined lately. I think that's been a big change. Similar to like Matthew Stafford and that offense. As long as Jameis, takes care of the ball, they've been playing a lot better. Do you see any potential for Jameis at home chucking it to Cameron Brate and to Mike Evans against this bad Saints?
Are you worried a little bit, though, that it really is only Mike Evans? No Humphreys tomorrow. Got the concussion. So if I'm the Saints,
I'm doubling Mike Evans.
Absolutely. I don't mind double Brate, too. Or at least as much as possible. I might even get cute, put your number one corner on Brait. You see, I've seen teams do that.
And double Evans and put your actual guy and try and plaster Brait. Interesting. So you would not look to Jameis? You don't think
he's
going
to... I like Jameis.
I think Jameis can get me 280. I think Jameis can get into the end zone.
I think 275 and 2 is 4.
It's very, very reasonable.
Right? I think it can be much higher than that.
All right. At 8,200, that may be someone. Listen, what about on the Saints side of things? On the Saints side of things, for me, I mean, obviously Drew Brees is the man, but on the road, that long grass in Tampa Bay, weird things happen in the long grass there in Tampa Bay. But which of these pass catchers, you know, we talked about Thomas a little bit before, but, you know, you got Cooks out there, you got Snead out there. I've been down on Kobe Fleener all season long. How do you see these wide receivers? Which is the best value for you, George?
I mean, when it comes to wide receivers, I want targets.
Okay.
Always want targets.
Yeah, but too bad Brandon Cooks got me zero targets when I was stacking him with Drew Brees 2 weeks ago.
It was 1 week.
Yeah, and it was the 1 week that I had the Brees-Cooks stack, and it did not go so well, despite playing 49 of the 75 snaps. What was going on there?
That was strange.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad. It prevented me from winning that week is what happened.
Peyton stated that it was just defense. He was talking. Actually, he was talking on the first play. Didn't work out. And I mean, I don't know how that happens.
Okay, so that's not happening again?
No.
We don't think Vernon Hargraves can make that happen?
Thomas may be out.
Right.
Or maybe hampered. So I think Cooks could have a monster game here.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, granted, they played better of late on defense as well.
Yes.
But they were atrocious secondary early on.
True.
And
true.
I think
they're getting a little bit better. Vernon Hargraves, they're getting a little bit better as time goes on.
But I'm still starting.
We're very comfortable with Brandon Cooks and Drew Brees, obviously.
Thomas worries me, though.
What about Ingram? And Ingram and Hightower, you know, that's been an interesting battle. I think Sean Payton gave that, like, you know, Jedi mind trick, talking nonsense about Ingram right before they played the 49ers a few weeks back. Then they went off and combined for 200. But you never can tell with them. And Ingram's still battling a little bit of an issue with, you know, coming back from the concussion. Do you like Hightower?
When can you tell a coach is lying?
When a coach is talking.
When his lips move.
There you go.
Right,
when a coach is talking, that's when you can tell a coach is
never
lying.
Never trust any of them. That being said, we talked to Dr. A, Scott Engel, on the Old School Fantasy yesterday.
Right.
Dr. A said stay away.
Stay away from Ingram?
Stay away from Ingram.
Okay.
I guess his algorithms tell you the injury's not good, blah, blah, blah. And I agree. If I can, I want to stay away from here. I don't trust it.
So then what about Hightower at 5,900?
But the problem is, what if it's half-half split? What if it's 64? You just don't know. It's a gamble.
There are so many running back rooms like that. We talked about Philly earlier. You know, we talked about later on when we get into Monday Night Football when you have, like, West and Dixon. There are very few workhorse backs here in the NFL anymore. However, one of the workhorse backs that are still in the NFL is playing Sunday Night Football. So let's move on to that game where the Dallas Cowboys come into MetLife Stadium, and that workhorse that I'm talking about is rookie Ezekiel Elliott. Here's what I want to say about this, and you know, I talk about this on Shot Callers on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I talk about this on Fantasy Freestyle that I do with my boy Rox on Saturdays on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I cannot understand this, George. Maybe you guys have been talking about this, maybe not. I do not understand how you have a stud like Ezekiel Elliott. How is Alfred Morris only owned in 14% of leagues? This is what I don't understand. If you are riding Ezekiel Elliott and you're in your playoffs and you have that great offensive line, why do you still have a guy like Isaiah Crowell on the back end of your roster? Why do you still have a guy like Jerick McKinnon on the back end of your roster? You need those handcuffs just in case. The guys I'm talking about are like the Alfred Morrises of the world, the D'Angelo Williamses of the world, the Jalen Richards of the world. How are these guys not owned in more leagues? If any team who owns Ezekiel Elliott at this point needs to own Alfred Morris, in my opinion. Any team that owns Latavius Murray needs to own Jalen Richard. Any team that owns Le'Veon Bell needs to own D'Angelo Williams. How are these people only 10-15% owned?
Well, it brings a playoff strategy now.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not a big handcuff guy during the regular season.
But now
it changes.
Now it changes. That's what I'm saying. At this point, I understand when the buys were going on. Now, you are in the playoffs. You need to have your most elite lineup possible. So that's what I'm saying. If you were carrying Isaiah Crowell as your RB4 or something like that down, now you need Mike Gill Dillisley. Now you need Jalen Richard. Now you need Alfred Morris is owned in 12% of leagues. Ezekiel Elliott is owned in 100% of leagues. If you own Ezekiel Elliott, yes, this is the playoff strategy. You need these guys, right?
I agree. Because your depth is not as important now.
It doesn't matter, right?
And if your top guy goes down, you want
If you've been riding Ezekiel Elliott, right, and all of a sudden, let's say, God forbid, he goes down tomorrow, and then you're in your semis week 15, don't you want Alfred Morris behind that offensive line? What are you going to do? You need to be able to try to replicate that production, and that is not going to happen, you know, by you plugging Terrence West in there or something, right? For this playoff strategy, you need these handcuffs. You need these backups.
First of all, as a Cowboy fan, can we stop talking about Ezekiel Elliott getting hurt tomorrow?
Fair enough.
Would it kill you?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's talk about stud X. You need backup X, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I agree with you. You need your backups during the playoffs. You don't worry about it during the regular season, but you know there's no buys recovering during
the right,
14,
but now 16. The time has come where you need to look at your roster and really know, listen, you're probably playing two more games, right? You need to make sure you can put out the best possible lineup for those two games. On the Giants side of things, I got to tell you something. Eli does not look great.
He's erratic.
He is. He has been erratic. And if he doesn't hit his little, if he doesn't hit the 10-yard slant to Odell Beckham, who then takes it to the house for 60, I'm a little bit worried about Eli. Do you think he's startable in this game?
He has history against the Cowboys is good.
The Cowboys, right. And there's still no more Mo Claiborne, correct?
No, he won't be back. Maybe 2 weeks at the Detroit game.
Right. So that Dallas secondary can be had. You obviously have Odell Beckham.
That's bad.
Right. But, you know, do you think Sterling Shepard eats in this game as well?
I do. I wrote about that earlier.
I stumbled upon something that George wants to talk about here. Sterling Shepard.
The Cowboys secondary can be beat.
Yeah.
It can be beat. The running defense is actually good for the Cowboys. It's the second. He's going to have to throw the ball, and Eli's history against the Cowboys is good.
Right.
The weather tomorrow night doesn't look awful here in the New York area, so sure. He should be, I'm not worried about wind or snow or rain or anything like that.
Right.
So I think Eli's going to do well. Yeah, I think he has to do well as well also because you said it a couple times during the show now, no JPP.
Yeah, there's going to be no JPP. This is a game that's going to be in the high 20s, in my opinion.
I
could see a 28-24 kind of game,
I had 27-24 in my head.
Listen, we're telekinesing over here. We're seeing the same thing. And that means, listen, if George and Dane are telling you that, you need to do it right now because that is going to win you your league and win you your cash. One other thing, and we've been talking about this a little bit today on the show as well, the running back room. You got Rashad Jennings, right? And he's actually been growing recently, but I like Paul Perkins. You know, this is another one of those young running backs, like I mentioned before with Derrick Henry, like I mentioned before with guys like Kenneth Dixon, that are growing in their role. Watch out for that running back split. If you've been riding Rashad Jennings, last week Paul Perkins got 7 carries, so I would temper my expectations for Rashad Jennings because I do think Perkins can get a little bit of the share.
I've been calling Perkins for weeks now, and then Jennings all of a sudden took off.
Right. But in the last couple of weeks, Perkins has been getting some carries. The last question I want to ask you about on the Giants side of things, there was a brief moment in time about 3 weeks ago when people were thinking that Will Tye was rosterable there in fantasy when tight end was so worried. If we've given out other tight ends already in this game. Dallas pass defense, Eli gonna have to throw. They're obviously gonna focus on Odell Beckham. Could you see Ty getting in the end zone?
Sure, because Dallas not good against tight ends. But who are you starting him over? Unless you're in a two tight end league, I can't see who you would start him over. He's pretty far down.
You mentioned right, but here's the thing. You mentioned San Diego using guys like Henry and Gates.
Yeah, I'm still starting both of them over.
You're starting both of them over Ty? What about the guy I gave out before, my man CJ Fedorowicz?
No, Fedorowicz.
You're starting Fedorowicz over Ty?
That's the problem. I'm starting Witten, Bennett.
You're starting Witten over Ty? You're starting Dwayne Allen over Ty?
Yeah, I think you have to.
Are you starting Vernon Davis over Ty?
No. Oh, well, it depends on Jordan Reed.
Right. So that's about the level that we're at. Right. I finally found the level for us.
Yeah, I mean, I would start him over Jared Cook. I would start him over Kendricks. I'm starting over Barnage.
What about Vance McDonald?
Yes, I'll start him over McDonald. These are all guys in the 16 to 24 range.
Okay.
Which is where I have Ty. I think Ty could get in the end zone. Dallas not good against the tight ends.
Right.
I think it could work.
So we have found the level for Will Ty. We have talked about Sunday Night Football. There is only one game for us to get back into here on Roto Experts in the Morning. We got George Kurtz and I'm your boy Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. We're going to take one more break. My boy Pete Contadori over there, he's telling me we got to pay some bills. He's helping us blow up like a Samsung 7. I'm teaching George over here what the E-Pens are. We're having a good time here on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going to talk about Monday Night Football. We're going to answer the poll questions. We're going to have some fun here. Come on right back. Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm your boy, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. I'm filling in for Mike Blewett this week. We got George Kurtz with me, and we are having some fun here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, live from Studio 34 here in Rockin' Riley's in Midtown Manhattan. We got a couple more minutes left to go. We got one more game to get into, Monday Night Football, where the Baltimore Ravens travel to Gillette to take on the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 7.5-point favorites. Your total is 45.5. You know, George, we were talking about these tight ends. Yeah, I like Baltimore in this game, too. The Baltimore Ravens are not afraid to go up there, exactly. Harbaugh and Flacco. They know how to beat them. You don't really make money betting against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, but this is a chance. I like them. You know, I still think New England can win the game, but another kind of close game. I do not think they get the cover. Interesting, though, George, we've been talking about a lot of tight ends. You know, Gronk has been missing. You know, maybe Jordan Reed coming back. But interestingly enough, a lot of people thought that after Gronk was out that it was going to be the black unicorn all over the place, but that has not come to pass. What is going on with Martellus Bennett? You thought that he would be someone. Yeah, but you thought that he was going to be like be able to step in and be a tight end one, but no so much. He got, what, like 14 yards against San Francisco a couple of weeks back? Where are you going? Because here's my theory on the New England Patriots. All, their production has not been coming from the outside. Tom Brady is 39 years old and likes to go to the tight end, likes, you know, your James White, your Deion Lewis out of the backfield. Recently, though, that's when Julian Edelman has started to step up. You know, he had a nice game, 8 catches for 101 yards last week. Even Malcolm Mitchell, they're starting to go more to the outside. Do you trust now a little bit more the wide receivers on the New England Patriots? Because in standard leagues, earlier in the season, I was telling in standard leagues that you could dump Julian Edelman, but now he's starting to come on because you don't have these weapons over the middle.
Well, I think when you look at New England, I agree with you about Brady. I think I'm more worried about Blunt than anybody else Monday night because I think they abandoned the run.
Right.
You know, Bill Belichick.
And this Ravens defense is good against the run.
I think the best in the NFL against the run, and Bill Belichick is not going to beat his head against the wall running into a line that he can't get anything. He'll just abandon it and go, hey, Brady, throw the ball 50 times. Doesn't care. He'll use the short pass to Deion Lewis and James White out of the backfield and it's his run game as we discussed with Aaron Rodgers. Same thing.
Same kind of thing.
Martellus Bennett has some problems. He has an ankle and shoulder injuries, and they keep him in the block more often now. Remember, Gronkowski was a very good pass blocker.
This is true. So where are you going for production? Is Deion Lewis the best guy to have here?
I think Edelman's my number one guy on the team. I like Lewis more than I like White.
Right.
Blunt I have as a mid-range running back, too, and I keep dropping him in my rankings.
Yeah.
I think I'm at 16 now. He's still a running back, too, but I don't love it. He's going to be touchdown dependent.
And this is also not the kind of game that New England's going to be up by 20 and then just running LGBT at the end of the game.
You said the spread 7.5. I'll take Baltimore all day on that.
I am also taking Baltimore and the points in this game. Hey, George, let's look at the last team that we haven't talked about yet, the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco coming off his game of the year. 36 for 47, 381 yards. He threw for 4 touchdowns, only 1 interception. We talked a little bit about Dennis Pitta getting those 2 touchdowns. I don't think that that's something you can hang your hat on. He probably regresses right back to a 5 catch for 34 yard effort. But what I am interested in here is which of these wide receivers do you trust? Is it Steve Smith? Is it Mike Wallace? Ever since that change of offensive coordinator, you know, Schottenheimer likes to go deep, likes to go over the top and flip the field. Morningwig likes to flip the field sometimes, and that has really helped out Mike Wallace. What wide receiver, if any, are you looking at here on the Baltimore side of things?
Well, you have options here. Even Perriman's an option.
We had a Breshad Perriman sighting a few weeks ago. I would not trust that.
I think, what do you want here? Do you want safety? That's Steve Smith. He's going to catch us 4 or 5 balls.
Sure, but I want that chance. I want that chance for the 60-yard bomb, so I like Mike Wallace.
They're going to give Wallace those chances.
He's definitely going to get those chances. Yes, they are going to try a couple of attempts down the field, and Mike Wallace only really needs to convert on one of those to make it worthwhile for your fantasy lineup.
I know. When it comes to these types of plays, as long as the guy is not a true boomer bust where either he gets or gets nothing, Wallace is more than that. So I'll go with Mike Wallace here because, as you said, I think what's the worst case scenario? 330? I think it's worst case scenario. He gets 6 points for you.
Yeah.
But they're going to give him minimum 3 shots at catching the bomb.
Yes.
And I think he'll do better than that. And if he doesn't catch the bomb, I expect 550
All right, so George, though, the weatherman, is that storm that's in Green Bay, is that going to be in New England the next day?
Not that I've heard.
As is the weather going to move east Monday night football? Well, I got our weatherman over here. And the last question I also want to ask you, George, we talked about this a little bit with some of the other running back rooms. This Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon, you know, I like Kenneth Dixon out of the backfield, and now they're starting to split carries. Both of them got 13 carries last game. This is one of the examples. I say you can kind of drop both of them to get one of those backups for your studs in your playoff strategy. Remember, like, you know, there are some people that maybe I can see a situation where Sharkandrick West is more valuable for you than Terrence West, depending if you already have Spencer Ware and you're in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
I can see that as well. By the way, 41 degrees.
Weatherman George Kurtz, give it to me.
There will be rain in the early AM, no precipitation at night.
No snow. Okay, so maybe they will be able to throw those bombs to Mike Wallace, because if it was snowing, I would fade that Mike Wallace attempt. You know what
There'd
I mean?
Wind out of the southwest at 10 miles an hour.
He is not the best in the business for anything, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want to do. We only got a couple minutes left here on Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We put up some poll questions on that FNTS. Why fantasy? Who is the team that can upset the apple cart in the NFC, Pete?
Giants with 47%.
Oh, we are so New York centric here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Do the people think that the Cleveland Browns are going to win a game this year?
No, 53%.
Wow, I think this is
very
the week.
Close.
I think this is the week where RG3 and that Baylor connection to Corey Coleman, they may get it done in a divisional matchup after their bye. Last thing I want to get into here, though, George, we were talking about the fantasy MVP. Now that teams are going into the playoffs, I don't know. I'm gonna submit as my nominee. You know, we talked about Melvin Gordon, right? We talked about Melvin Gordon getting you 12 touchdowns on the year, probably drafted, you know, later on in your leagues. What about a guy, you know, that was probably going to be like a QB2 that wound up being Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan as an MVP.
It's hard to have a quarterback as an MVP, though.
Fair enough, because all of them produce.
But I would agree with you. Ryan would be probably my number one.
Check your settings, obviously. But he was drafted later on.
Matthew Stafford would be there as well. Mariota, you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. What about Cousins? Someone who was drafted low that we talked about, Terrell Pryor, though. Terrell Pryor was probably drafted very low, has returned great value for you.
How about Ty Williams?
Yeah, he was probably picked up in week one after the Keenan Allen injury, and has definitely gotten you some burn. There are definitely some people out there.
Crabtree, we get some love. Not really MVP love, but we get some love here.
Jay Ajayi.
He'll get some love as
well. He got you 200 yards back-to-back, probably helped you get into the playoffs, just like George and Speeds the Spitting Statistician.
DeMarco Murray.
That's all for us. So many potential MVPs. Hopefully you have them in your lineup.
Garrett Blunt.
And you can advance to the semifinals. Come back and see us next week. Roto Experts in the Morning. Dane and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.